Salam alaikum. Man zakin, guten tag, buenos dias, buen dia, bonjour, bonsoir, mache maha, jambo, habari, oniche. I hope I got that right in Bambara again. I'm going to integrate this till it becomes a part of our routine. In today's podcast, I'll be talking to you about Newton's first law of motion. Wow, some physics finally. Newton's first law of motion. So I was about 7 years, 8 years when my grandpa taught me the laws of motion. And my grandfather actually had a doctorate in Manchester, and he loved physics. I recall seeing his thesis, that, you know, that thick on the table every single time. He was a dramatic human being. He is a dramatic human being. He's not dead. I'm saying was because the memories are so distant now. And I certainly do miss him. And I remember a few things that he used to do. You know, my grandfather would be taking a shower, and he had this rhythm or this melody that he would make. And he would say, that man certainly taught me a lot of things. I think the Latin I remember the most that he taught me was lupus flabat et flabat sed infrastra. And for those of you who know some Latin, you know that this is a very common phrase. The wolf tried again, but it was in vain. And that was some good times. But that brings me to today's topic, Newton's first law of motion. Newton's first law of motion states that an object in rest would stay at rest, and an object in motion would stay in motion unless both of these objects are compelled by an external force to do otherwise. It simply means that if I put a book on the table or my phone on the table, unless something moves the phone should stay on the table forever. That makes sense, right? I'm going to extrapolate this philosophy, and apply them to our everyday life. I was talking to a friend of mine quite recently, and I was telling him, you know, Newton could have stopped at the first law of motion, because if you look at the economic structure of the world, I like the statement, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It is so true. The only way the rich get poor is when an external force occurs or compels the rich to become poor. And the only way the poor becomes rich is when an external force compels the poor to become rich. What do I mean to say by this? Whatever state you are in, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are doing currently, that is your current state. You'd have to critically analyze your life and say, do I want to be here? Do I want to stay here? Is this where I want to be? Is this who I want to be? And am I going where I want to go? It is only by analyzing this can you now say that if I am not on the path I want to be on, then I need an external force to compel me to do otherwise. I find this very fascinating because it applies to every facet of life. For example, if you realize that you are not the leader you want to be, then you need an external force to compel you to do otherwise. I was once listening to a friend of mine speak, and he said that his mentor actually asked him to go to Dubai so that his thinking would change. Guys, and the truth is, I don't know if that happens to everybody, but when you go to advanced countries, I think the first time I got to Qatar, I got to Doha, I was blown away. I asked myself, can a country be this sophisticated and developed? It's like an external force had hit me, and I was just struck. I was like, how on earth can we Ghanaians accept our fate, accept what we have? You know, Newton's first law of motion. Whoever you are, if you are not where you want to be, then it means that you are either an object at rest or an object in motion. And if that is not a desired result, then you need an external force to compel you to do otherwise. Now, what are these external forces? I refer to these external forces as mentors. Some call them circles, some call them maps and mirrors, whatever you call them. But I remember clearly my journey in Morocco. When I started, I had people who would call me out on my BS. I still do have people who call me out on my BS. I have people I call on a weekly basis to be able to tell me whether I'm taking the right direction, I'm taking the right step, or I'm just, you know, wasting my life, as I call it. And so these people are external forces, and they compel me. One of the forces that compelled me too, I must admit, was the birth of my daughter. I certainly did not expect it to compel me in such a direction in life. But what I realize is that in life, yes, you can actually choose the forces that compel you, but there are instances in life also that occur that compel you with or without your approval. So for some people, it is a loss of a loved one. For some people, it is a birth of a loved one. For some people, it is a loss of an opportunity. For others, it is when they gain or when they have a new opportunity. Whatever it is, I want to draw your attention to this. Things are happening in your life. Forces are compelling you. Forces are compelling you every single day. You have to choose which force compels you based on the results you want to see in future. I believe strongly that the past created the present, and so the present will create the future. And this is simple to me, because to me it is a 1+1 equation. Because the work I did in the past, I am now enjoying the fruits of that labor. So that only tells me that the work I'm putting in now will pay off in the future. So, what are the forces compelling you? For some of you, you have negative forces compelling you. You'd have to be able to sit up and acknowledge them. For others, you have positive forces compelling you. Be grateful and ask them to compel you even more. But if you are on the path that you deem is right for you, if you are where you think is best for you, then Newton's first law of motion. Stay where you are. Let no force compel you. Until I come your way next time, this is Prince Tego. Beslama.